Hello and welcome to the Apache Cassandra Corner, a community-driven podcast for all things Apache Cassandra. The Apache Cassandra Corner is sponsored by DataStax. I am your host, Aaron Pletz. Well, hello everyone, and welcome back to the Apache Cassandra Corner podcast. I'm joined today by Mary Grigelski, who is actually a coworker of mine from DataStax. Mary, hello.
Hello. Hello, Aaron. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited. We've talked about this for a long time. Finally, we're doing this. So yeah, I'm excited. Thank you. So
yeah. And I know that I've ended up on your Twitch stream at least once.
We have to do more. For sure. Yeah. These days, though, I'm hoping that our audience could be, you know, kind of have the passion should return, you know, after all the pandemic thing. But
oh, I know.
Finding right. it a right. little slow, folks, a little slow, but please come back. I will be doing more of my stream as well. So yeah, we'll have you back.
Excellent. So, Mary, why don't you start by telling us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So, yes, I am Mary Grigelski. Thank you, Aaron. And I'm a developer advocate with the streaming team at DataStax. And so the area that I'm primarily advocating for, it would be the event streaming platform, Astra Streaming at DataStax. And then it's powered by Apache Pulsar. So a lot of, you know, all of our things at DataStax are really open source powered. So essentially, Apache Pulsar. So event streaming kind of more catered for the cloud native platform. So that's what I'm advocating for. And then in my spare time or, you know, off hours, I would be running community. So I'm also Chicago Java Users Group president. Mm-hmm. And then I'm also Java champion too. So yeah, and right. I'm interested. Yeah, and I'm interested not just in Java, but everything else. And nowadays, even like getting into AI, like our company is doing and things like that. And not just that, just a lot of variety of different things I think I'm just very interested in. So yeah, so, and just some background too, is that I was an engineer before becoming an advocate at IBM. That's where I started being, you know, started off my advocacy career in 2018. Mm-hmm. So it's been 5 years I've been doing advocacy. Oh, wow. Back then I was doing more Java focused reactive technology. And now here doing event streaming. And so I was an engineer doing, you know, different products too. And in the 90s, I was actually doing Unix and C. And then in 2000, switched to doing Java open source. And then, you know, from products to engineering applications, and then now back to doing products and advocacy. So yeah, so that's kind of a nutshell about me. So yeah.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah. And the thing is too, is that, you know, of course, Cassandra is written in Java. Yeah. So there's actually you know, if you look at the Venn diagram of like Java people and Cassandra people, I mean, it's pretty much a circle.
Wow, that is so true.
There certainly are a lot of there's a lot of crossover there, I guess is where I'm going with that. And actually that was kind of where, you know, I was a Java developer, you know it really wasn't my strong suit 15 years ago when I first started doing it, but it's like that was the same time that I got into Cassandra and, you know, just again learning so much about the Java ecosystem just because, you know, I had to support Cassandra and that was it was tricky. And, you know, just, you know, yeah, kind of like you, you know, I really kind of fell in love with Java, you know, if you want to think about it that way.
That's right. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, we need more supporter or folks advocating for Java. I think it's here to stay. You know, a lot of people are talking about, oh, go away. But no, it's a very, you know, a long proven system. It's all of these things. There's so much like open source options to it, too. And the community, too, is amazing, right? So
it
big.
Is. Yeah.
Even the whole Apache Software Foundation, you know, most of the software is written in Java as well.
Right.
And the world is pretty much all the backend systems are still powered by Java. It's just very robust. Yeah, it's proven. So
I mean, if we're still dealing with systems that run on COBOL, I'm betting we're going to be dealing with systems that run on Java for quite a while. You know, I'm not worried about Java going away.
exactly. I agree. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, totally.
So, you know, Mary, I've always kind of wondered, you know, a little bit about like the Java champion process. How does that, how does one become a Java champion? Ah,
okay. Yeah. Good question. I've been asked to a few times and yeah, so it is a bit of an interesting process in the sense that, you know, it was first started back when JavaSoft was still there and a few people mm-hmm. started the program back with Sun Microsystems. And then they were just, you know, always like by nomination and it's like internal nomination too. But okay. then over time, you know, then Oracle took over the program and everything. And so these days too, I look into the program. There are actually some folks, you know, already was there a long time and I don't even think they're active anymore. But the thing is too, is that with this program, unlike, you know, other programs like maybe Google, I think there's Developer Expert, GDE, right? And also MVP, Microsoft, and mm-hmm. slightly different mm-hmm. because you don't need to recertify yourself, so to speak. If you're nominated, then you become one.
Okay. Yeah. So you're kind of there for life, huh?
Yeah. But I think I feel the key is that your involvement with the community, especially mm-hmm. the Java community and through Java users group will be very helpful because that's okay. seems to be, you know, the Java champions do most of the time. These are folks that are from running the JUGs, right?
Oh, sure.
To kind of know you and then you are active and not just like, okay, I'm just, you know, by name, I'm a JUG leader. No, that won't work. You actually have to be involved, right? And then also if you speak at conferences and things like that, or meetups, right? Not just conferences. And then just be active and be proactive. I think that's kind of a trait that I'm finding a lot of fellow Java champions are too. It's more like, well, we roll up the sleeves and do things and really reach out to people. Sure. And the whole community, I think, has this very nice culture of, you know, you are very welcome to everybody join, you're welcome. Unlike perhaps some other communities that I think you and I know of tend to be a bit more like, you know, like a gut and ego or something. But anyway, mm-hmm. but so Java community is nice. But I think the key, again, you know, and of course, you know, ideally, if you are programming, you're a technical person would be even better. But the thing is, I'm finding also, interestingly, there are some folks that if you're more like in other aspects of, you know, working in the computer industry, but you kind of take an interest or, you know, very active in doing promotion of Java, you'll be recognized, you're helping to run Java users group meetups and things like that. And maybe you are less of a hands-on technical, then you can also qualify for if you are more of a, you know, a community advocate as well. So yeah, a variety of different ways, but it is true. You definitely have to make yourself known to the community and be active too. I think that's what I'm finding. Yeah, is kind of very, very, very crucial in this case. Yeah, I found so. And also everything is internally nominated. So if you know someone, you've done enough work, the person will be confident they can nominate you to kind of like that. So yeah.
Okay.
How it works. Yeah.
Good. Yeah. And you know, I completely agree with what you said there about the Java community where, you know, I hadn't actually done a whole lot with the Java community before I met you. And, you know, I came down for that conference in Chicago last year and everyone was just so welcoming. You know, it's just like exactly what you said. It was just, it was more than I expected, you know, just, it was really great how everybody was. So
that's great. And yeah, welcome to the community, Aaron. We love to see you. Maybe you can restart. I'm hinting now. Restart the Minnesota.
that would be great. I know, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
That thought did cross my mind actually, Mary. Now that you say that out loud, but. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, sure. We'll be supporting you because, again, you know, the community, we have internal mailing lists or Slack group, and you reach out, there'll always be somebody helping too. And I know of just recently, somebody was asking, I like to start a group, you know, in my small town or things like that. I need some help. And everybody jump in and help and giving, you know, kind of assistance too. I think you can be rest assured you get a lot of help from many people. So, yeah.
Okay. Actually, you know, I think I have something that would be good to talk about. That is both Cassandra and Java. It's an example I built out. I think I sent this to you the Git repo I did on building out the new vector search feature and like a Spring Boot service that runs and kind of serves that out. You know, and helps you do like an ANN, you know, an approximate. Nearest neighbor on, you know, something that's been like tokenized into a vector, but,
Great.
Yeah, I was thinking about something like that. You know, vector search AI, that's kind of the hot thing right now, you know. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, that's something I do want to get into as well. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So.
So, Mary, let me ask you a question right in your wheelhouse here, you know, since you're an advocate for the streaming team, you know. So, what goes into choosing an event streaming platform?
Oh, okay. I think, you know, of course, too, you have to identify, you know, what type of solution you need to solve your problem. Mm-hmm. First, mm-hmm. you identify your problem. And let's say, you know, very often, too, for event streaming, I think it helps, you know, in terms of data in motion, right? And you have right. always have a right. point of ingestion. So, and then if you want data to be ingested at a high speed, and also, you know, again, you know, the messages won't be lost and kind of guarantee delivery, all of these things. And also, in addition to, are you going to operate in the cloud, especially in different clusters?
Right.
So
right.
that's kind of like the new things we need to also worry about. So, I think, you know, if you know that you are ingesting data at, you need it at high speed, and they, especially too, if they, you are ingesting data from multiple sources too, I think that would mm-hmm. be a mm-hmm. good time, good cases that you want to like ingest data and using an event streaming platform. And actually, you know, talking about which too, you reminded me, you know, if I, you know, a lot of times do people also ask, you know, what type of usage scenario? And at I think I mentioned to you before that we recorded, started this talk, I'm talking with Ko, who's based in Netherlands. We've been doing a talk on Kafka and Pulsar. We were kind of going through planning. I said, okay, citing some examples, how about right in Netherlands, they're famous for their cows, like the dairy cows. So sure, I said, sure. You know, what I have heard of is that in some cell phone company, they are trying to use some cell technology to track cows in the field. And then I'm thinking, you know, maybe we can be creative and put IoT devices on cows, because sometimes too, you got huge dairy farms and you can have
many cows
roaming around the land, the hills, and what if one of them get lost and stuff? So if you put IoT devices on them, then they are constantly sending the GPS signal to the server. You have like, you know, 1,000, your herd of 1,000, you know, something like that. 1,000 running around the hillside. So you can kind of think of, you know, kind of using a data event streaming ingestion platform such as that, because your IoT devices are collecting all the data they keep sending to the server. And then basically you have some point of sending it back into your app, you know, on the server and processing these data. Maybe that would be a good use case scenario, thinking of using
event streaming. Hey, platform. I think we're getting a high ping on Bessie. Someone better run out there. No,
that's right. Yeah.
So. No, that's a cool idea though. Yeah. I never would have thought about using it for using an IoT device, you know, spread out across a pasture like that. But yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
And then of course you have all that data from the IoT streams coming in, and you're, you know, that's where you want the guaranteed delivery and the exact order that they came in. And sure. I can kind of see that. Yeah, exactly.
So yeah. So something it's like an example where you can think of using event streaming and, So, and I'm also aware too, right? Fraud detection system too. You're constantly monitoring any kind of suspicions activities, you know, based on the data you need to analyze. So the ingestion part too is very important, because there, any given point in time, you have so many different activities going on. So yeah, you collect all those inputs, and through an event streaming platform that would be also good use cases for that.
Okay.
Yeah, and of course, also recommendation system, right? There are people doing shopping, and you're collecting all their clicks, you know, keystrokes, and then you're analyzing and sending them down, and machine learning, you know, algorithms to analyze their, you know, their patterns, and then figuring out, you know, giving out recommendations as they are shopping too. So yeah, so those you can think of event streaming. To me, I feel almost seems like, you know, if you kind of explain this, you know, to my grandma who doesn't know, you know, isn't technology, you know, focus, and you can say, well, it's sort of like infrastructure in your house. You walk into a house, you don't really see it. These are pipes that are running underneath, you know, that behind the walls and your floor,
right,
But they are so essential too. They are like, you know, you, that's where the pipes are kind of, you know, when you turn on faucet, it sends out the water to you and it kind of drains back to the output, you know, whatever exhaust, not exhaust, waste, you know, pipes and things like that. So I think in some ways, event streaming, it's kind of, is like that, you know, in the, if I have to put it in an analogy, that's what event streaming type of platform is. It's really it's like a glue and helps you to kind of move things around easier. You do need to have a good one in order to make sure your data is moving along, you know, correctly and kind of
involved. So hey Mary, at the end of the year at the Cassandra Summit, you're going to be giving a talk there. Why don't you tell us a little bit about, you know, what talk is and what you're going to cover?
Sure. So, yeah. So again, right. I'm doing streaming for DataStax. So we have Apache Pulsar. So Apache Pulsar too, again, you know, event streaming for ingestion. So here it is. I'm thinking, right. DataStax is not only about event streaming. I mean, of course, Cassandra is the main thing. And, you know, so I'm kind of been thinking of, you know, there's got to be ways of integrating the two together. And again, you know, so with event streaming, my talk actually is really to explore, right, about building a data pipeline and then using Apache Pulsar. And of course, too, you know, just like water, too, when you flow through, you kind of water goes through different treatment plans. So it's like data coming through. You want to do some transformation. For example, you can have data that is flowing through that only sends the message, each one of them carries some kind of IDs, right, along. The thing is, it's only ID. So you need to do some sort of lookup to your tables. So that's where I think, let's say Cassandra can come into play, because that's where your Cassandra is storing. Let's say it's coming in a user ID. You need to use look up more information about the user. So you then, you know, your data comes in, you want to do lookup to your Cassandra database based on the user ID, look up the information, you know, in your data store. So that's actually what I'm working on, is actually building this pipeline using both Apache Pulsar and Cassandra. And basically, and from Pulsar's perspective, I'm using Pulsar functions. And these are lightweight functions that you can plug into your pipeline, and that will do message transformation or selection, filtering, whatever you need to do. So inside is this bite-sized function that I can do query against Cassandra and search for the information I need. And then you transform your data essentially, and then you send them off to your downstream, to your destination, to a sync like that. So essentially my talk is about that, and just coming up with this demo scenario to demonstrate how we can integrate the two technology together and essentially provide solution to solve some business problems. So what it's in a nutshell, that's what my talk is about. So
So at what point are the functions applied? Is it like as it comes onto the topic, or can you configure that?
Oh, yes. You can do that too. So yes. So essentially data gets sent to the topic. So from the topic too, that's where, you know, you get your, you know, your subscriber, you're getting the messages. So you're consuming it. So from the consuming side too, you can basically have, you know, your functions can be called to in there, right?
You can call them from the consumer?
Yeah, you should be able
to. That's really cool.
The functions too. Yeah, that's right. So you should be able to then do whatever you need, and then basically from there, then it gets sent downstream to whoever destination you need to go to. Let's say you're building a set of pipelines that are all connected together, and that's possible too, right? And or your output can be sent to another topic as well. So that will be another topic for somebody else to pick up. You can think of chaining all your data pipelines together. So I think in this case, you're like, you know, we're kind of treating data like they can kind of flow through the system quite easily in this sense, you know, rather than, you know, the more traditional way is, let's say you make RESTful calls and things like that and all that stuff, which is different kind of approach to doing things. But in this case, you data flows through, you can do whatever it needs, kind of, you know, dressing up these data and then keep sending them downstream or to another pipe and like that too. So they're kind of like Lego pieces, I think I can think
of.
That's a
good way to put it. Yeah. So within a Pulsar function, you can actually like connect to Cassandra. Did I catch that right?
That's right. Within the function, you should be able to then you know, essentially make calls to your Cassandra to any kind of, you know, external you know, storage or to be able to do some lookups, for example, things like that. So yeah, you should be able to do that as well. So yeah. It's because the function is, think of it, they are bite size. They can be essentially another kind of interface or place where you can, you know, invoke another procedure, right? To kind of do your lookup for you and kind of collect the data that you want to. So but that's the that's the idea. So
that's really cool. Yeah. All right.
So okay, sure.
All right. Well, hey, Mary, this has been really great. Thank you so much for, you know, taking the time to come on the show and, you know, like I said, have a quick conversation with me. No big deal, right?
Thank you. Thank you so much, Aaron. This is really fun to do a quick thing like this. I love it. So thank you. Thank you very much, Aaron.
Hey, of course, of course. All right, everyone, that's all we have for today. Thank you all very much and have a great day. And that's all for today. Thank you for listening to the Apache Cassandra Corner. Apache Cassandra is a registered trademark of the Apache Software Foundation. Thank you and have a great day.